over me and my family. Then an hour went by, and I heard from my mama. I said, thank you. Thank you, Lord. My mama was all right. The same way he watches over me, he'll do it for you. Yeah.
The highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the greater.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Luke 24:47, after Jesus was raised from the dead, what did he tell his disciples? He says, I want repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is what Jesus said. He was giving them instruction. He said, now, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. The word remission means release from bondage or imprisonment. It means forgiveness or pardon of sins. Letting them go as if they had never been committed. So when you repent, then God forgives and pardons and lets your sin go and treats them as if they never existed. And because he's able to do that in his mercy and in his justice. You know, mercy and justice have kissed together. Mercy and truth, they've kissed together. Amen? And so God brought redemption, and because of the blood that Jesus shed, when God looks at me, he no longer sees my sinful condition. And therefore, I'm able to have fellowship with him. Just like I never sinned. Power of repentance. It's having your sins remitted, washed away. Acts 2:38, which I told you about Peter. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 3:19 says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Acts 17:30. God now commends all men everywhere to repent. Acts 20:21, testifying. This is what Paul said. Testifying to Jews and Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, repentance is a part of the gospel. Amen. Acts 26:20, repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. You see, when Paul stood before King Agrippa and gave his testimony about how he had met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and Paul said, I'm not doing anything but telling men that they need to repent and do works meet for repentance. Now, I always wonder, I say, now, King Agrippa said, Paul, almost you persuade me to become a Christian. And so I asked myself, what is it about the gospel that caused Agrippa not to go on all the way? And this is what I believe. You don't have to believe this, but this is what I believe. I believe that it was the part about repentance that he couldn't handle. Because repentance means you're going to have to change your ways. And he said, Paul, almost you persuade me. What was it that kept him? What was it that kept him from going in and go ahead and be a Christian? I believe it was the repentance part. You're going to have to change how you're living. He said, almost you got me. What was the almost? What was holding him back? I believe it was the repentance part. People don't want to turn from their sin. People don't want to give up their ungodly lifestyle, but they want to force it on you and make you call it normal. People have a right to do what they want to do. God gave man a free will. Amen. But man has never been given the right to change the truth. He ain't never been given no authority from God to change truth into a lie. And if you start trying to change truth into a lie, then you're going to have a problem with me. I don't have to accept that. And you can call me anything you want to call me. You can call me a bigot. You can call me a hater. I ain't hating on nobody. You hating on me when you try to tell me that something that God said is a sin ain't a sin. Now you hating on me. Now you being a bigot toward me, trying to stuff unbelief and trying to stuff ungodliness and trying to stuff those lies down my life and trying to stuff it down society's life. Yeah, now you're the one that's hating. Stuff that's been a sin for thousands of years. All of a sudden in 50 years, all this done changed? In 50 years, God done changed his mind? After all of these years, he done changed his mind and said, you know what, I was wrong about this. I messed up. I'm going to tell you, if that's so, he ain't God. But I tell you one thing, he ain't changed his mind, and he is God, 100% God. 100% holy God. The devil just know how to intimidate people. He'll intimidate the church. Don't want the church speaking out. If you speak out, we're going to label you. We're going to call you a bigot. We're going to call you a hater. We're going to call you a fanatic. We're going to call you an extremist. If you open your mouth about these social issues, we're going to put a tag on you. And then we're going to legislate laws that prevent you from doing it so we can put you in jail if you do it. Romans 2:4, it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. 2 Corinthians 12:21, and I love this scripture here. Paul said, when I come to you, he said, I don't want to come to you in grief. I don't want to come to you in sorrow. I don't want to come to you crying. He said, when I come, I don't want to come crying. What would make Paul cry when he come visit the church? What would make Paul cry? He said, because many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Paul said, you're going to make me cry if you don't repent for your evil ways. Homosexuality is fornication. You got to repent. Of fornication. That ain't the only fornication. Adultery is fornication. Sex outside marriage is fornication. Sex with relatives is fornication. Oh, don't make me go there. Sex with animals. Sex with animals is fornication. People don't want to repent, so they say, oh, you know, I just like the way I'm living. I like my lifestyle and everything. God accept me the way I am. God loves me. There's the overemphasis on the love of God. Yes, God loves you, and we really can't overemphasize that, but some people will overemphasize that to hold on to their sin. And they'll try to force God to accept that. I ain't changing. You're going to have to accept me the way I am. Because after all, God, you made me this way. We're talking about repentance. Hebrews 6:1. The Bible says, talks about the foundation of repentance from dead works. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. See, that's the love of God. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, it's not his will for you to perish. His will is for everybody to come to repentance, to have that change. And then in Revelation, Jesus really talked about it. Revelation 2:5, he said, remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. In Revelation 2:16, he told the church, repent or else I will come quickly and remove your candlestick. Then he talked about the whore in Revelation. In Revelation 2:21-22, he says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. In other words, he said, I gave them time to repent. But they still didn't repent. And you can go through those scriptures, and you'll find several scriptures that talked about people who refused to repent. I mean, society almost like they got trying to put God in some kind of hammer lock. Got a headlock on him. We say it ought to be like this here. We don't care what you say. Now give in. That's where they got the church in a headlock. Got the church with the arm right there, just putting more pressure on it. It's not time for us to back up. Not time for us to bow to the gods of this age we're living in. You see, those are demon spirits that people worship at those altars in their heart. They're worshiping at the altar of demons. When you hold views and ideas and concepts and philosophies that are contrary to this. Been a lot of talk about Democratic platform, Republican Party platform. Here's my platform. This is the platform I stand on. Platform means something you stand on. What you're taking a stand on. This is what I stand on. The Word of God is my platform. This is the platform of the church. Everybody say the church got his own platform. We got our own platform. It is the Word of God. Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Oh, Jesus said, oh.
Come on, is he highly
exalted? Oh, you say God love you? He rebuke you yet? Did he chasten you yet? Did he tell you to repent yet?
Glory to God.
Glory to God in my heart.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services.